You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our proactive member and get access to expert strategy guides on personal and professional development, bonus episodes, and other exclusive contents. Visit activeaction.fm for more information. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another amazing guest. And today, I'm going to talk to a well-known podcaster. But before going into that, I wanted to let you know a little bit about our new initiative for the personal and professional development enthusiast. We started a new program called Proactive Place, where we have strategy guides on personal and professional development, and also a course that I recently launched called Transform Yourself, a quick impact personal development course. So if you are into opportunities looking for personal and professional development, feel free to visit those in our website, www.activeaction.fm, or you can just simply click on the link that I'm showing you in the screen. Apart from that, today I have with me Joe Massa. So Joe Massa is the CEO of Podtopia Network and the host of the Measuring Podcast. And the topic for today, we will talk about business mostly, with a little bit of touch on podcasting and also how you can enhance your podcast or your own show through Joe's amazing services. So the topic that I have given for today's podcast is everything business. Good evening, Joe. I hope you are doing well. Before just diving into the podcast, I'll tell you a little bit about Joe. Joe is the owner and operator of Podtopia Network, a full-service podcast network dedicated to helping individuals launch and grow their own podcasts. He is also the host of the Measuring Podcast, a show dedicated to self-development, personal growth, and heartfelt storytelling. I'm sure you are all excited to learn about Joe's amazing journey. How are you doing, Joe, this evening?
Yes, I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me. It was a wonderful introduction, and I'm excited to be here on Active Action Podcast. And it's fun to be on a podcast talking about podcasting. So yeah, really looking forward to the conversation.
So when you talk about starting a business later in life, what do you actually mean by that?
I think it's pretty common that when people think of starting a business or doing something that's going to make them lots of money or give them fame or notoriety, whatever that looks for you, that you people feel if they don't start right out of college or university that they're already behind. And that's just not true. If you look at a lot of some of the world's biggest leaders in business, entrepreneurs and philanthropists, a lot of them start at a later age in their life. It doesn't mean waiting till you're 80 or 90 years old, but I'm in my early 40s. And Podtopia Network, this is the third business I've started, but this is the one that I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. So I think it's important to not get hung up on the fact that if you're not a certain age, that you can't start something that you're proud of or that you want to do. It's important to just focus on finding your passion And don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about age. Just really go after what you're trying to accomplish.
Thank you so much, Joe, for that wonderful perspective. I do agree with you. Starting a business, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with age. It's just vested in passion. And if you have it in yourself, and if you think that you have it, what it takes to start a business, you just gain the courage and do it. Age is just a number, and it has nothing to do with business. We have seen businesses often grow even when someone started in a very later age. So I appreciate that. Can I ask you how life experience, perspective, and time actually shape the entrepreneurial ventures or entrepreneurship from your experiences?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that everything that you do in life, whether you're going through school, working other jobs, helping with family, donating time, all of those experiences will lead up to who you are. They build your core values, what's important to you as an individual, as a husband, as a wife, as a brother, a sister, a friend. And it's important to go through those experiences to really find out what you like, what you don't. But I think that the power of starting a company or finding your passion, it's to do something that you're proud of. Now, it's easy to go get a job. Maybe not easy, but it's possible to go get a job, maybe make a lot of money and be financially set, and you're doing something that you absolutely do not like at all. So is that more valuable to you than to get a job that you're passionate about, that you really love doing, maybe don't make as much money? For me, as I was in my early 20s, the money was more important because I had a family to raise, I had bills to pay. But now as I'm getting older, I'm realizing my time is more valuable. So I would rather do something that I love, that I'm passionate and proud about. So if I can't find a job that's going to check those boxes for me, it makes a lot of sense for me just to do that myself and to really build something that I'm proud of, that I can get up every day and do something that I feel is making a difference.
I think it's very important to have that courage. Not many of us have that, making things happen for yourself and just taking away some of the services that we obtain elsewhere, just to take the liberty and the courage to start it as your own. And I understand that you have that caliber and capability as well. One thing I wanted to ask you, there are people that try to take advantage of the opportunities they get, doesn't matter what it is, small or large. But there is another group of people who look for more clarity in the work. What type of work we're doing, how it can benefit me, doing a detailed type of analysis rather than chasing every opportunity. Can you share from your experience, what are the advantages of starting with clarity in a business instead of chasing every opportunity?
So I'll equate it to like the modern day AI technology, right? Now that AI is becoming so big, every day you open your browser and there's a new tool. There's a new thing that you can try. It's like chasing the shiny objects, right? So it's really easy to get sidetracked and go looking for the next best thing instead of just realizing that what you're using and what you're doing already is enough. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every single day you go to work. Instead, what I think is more valuable is to find something, whether it's building homes, whether it's helping the elderly, whether it's working with children, doesn't matter what your passion is. Once you identify what you could do every single day and not get tired of it, just be consistent. Show up every day and do the work. Don't worry about finding the next golden opportunity. You know, not everyone has to be a famous inventor. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a famous athlete. The work that you do will separate you and identify who you are. But if it's in your heart and it's in your daily activity, it's something that's not going to feel like work. And what I talk about in some of my other shows and business classes as well, when you look at some of the people that make a lot of money over the course of their lives, they're not the ones that invented Facebook or YouTube. They're not the ones that created these great products. They're just somebody that showed up in a job that they were passionate about and they never quit. They just kept doing it day in, day in, day in, you know, for years and years. And then all of a sudden, they became the expert in that field. So if you want to rise above your competition, you can't jump from job to job. because then you're just sort of flaking around and not really building anything. Find what you love and just never quit. And I promise you'll be successful.
Thank you so much for sharing that perspective. So what I'm hearing from you is consistency is kind of a key, Joe. And I agree with you, because if we want to be good at something, it's important that we have vested a significant amount of time understanding and building our competency in that thing. And it doesn't just happen overnight, or it's difficult to happen if someone is constantly switching from place to place other than being vested in a particular topic or a subject, especially if they are interested in making a living out of it. Can you share me some lessons you learned from transitioning into entrepreneurship after years and years of other pursuits that you have been doing?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that a lot of people think that it's too scary, you can't do it. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Start small. You know, it's always, you know, smart to have a backup plan or another source of income while you're building what you're trying to do for the rest of your life. But the best piece of advice is just to start. You don't have to have the perfect plan. You don't have to have it all figured out yet. You just have to start. And once you get the momentum rolling, you'll see that it's not as scary as you thought it was. And also, it's something that's really exciting, but it takes a lot of work. Being an entrepreneur or being self-employed, that doesn't mean that you're free. It means that you have to do more work. So, you know, when you're self-employed, people think, oh, you're your own boss. You get to take off time whenever you want. That's not the case at all. It means I'm the marketing team, I'm the sales team, I'm the HR, I'm the payroll, I'm everybody. So you have to be ready to really commit your time and effort to the goal. So whatever it is, whether you're starting a construction business, whether you're starting a podcast, just like this, it will not grow if you don't put in the work. And I sort of have like a 5-step framework on how to be successful in anything. And number one, you have to have the vision. You have to know what you want, right? Number two, you got to put in the effort. It doesn't matter if the vision's perfect. If you're not working on it, it won't happen. Number three is what you said just a minute ago, consistency. So not only do you have to put in the effort, you have to do it regularly. Number four, you have to reflect. You have to be able to look at what you're doing and see what's working and what's not. And then fifth, you have to be adaptable. So you have to be able to pivot if something's not working and change your strategy to get the result that you want. So vision, effort, consistency, reflection, and adaptability. That is the 5 key things that you can use in any scenario of your life. And if you follow those steps, you're most likely going to find the answer to the problem you're facing.
Such wonderful advice, Joe. And even I think those 5 components that you mentioned, they are actually domains for self-development, and they are very important qualities to have. Some of them are actually a bit difficult to achieve, but it just takes your dedication and practice to achieve these self-development domains. And I recently launched my course on Transform Yourself, on a self-development course. I actually use some of those domains that you talked about. And these qualities are essential to have, even not for personal development. These actually help with your professional growth as well. Let's talk about a bit more into the business side of things, like building a systems and automations. Why do you think systems are the backbone of a scalable business? And what is that from your experience?
Because time is your true asset. Everybody's end game is to make money, to pay bills, to afford life. But time is the one thing that we can't control. And it's there's only so much of it in a day. So if I have to spend a majority of my day doing non-skilled work or busy work, where it's like checking emails, making sure the data is pulled from the form into the new spreadsheet, that's work that anyone can do. It's not skilled. Now, when I'm doing a podcast, or you're doing a podcast, or I'm starting a business, not everyone can do that. So I'm more suited to do the skilled work and let a computer or a system or an assistant do the non-skilled busy work. So building the right systems and using the right tools will save you a lot of time and energy that you can then take that time and energy and apply it to the work that only you can do. For example, like if I'm a skilled carpenter and I'm really good at building wood furniture, That's a skill set not many people have. But if I'm spending most of my day doing invoices and returning client calls, I'm not using my skill set to build the wood things. Instead, I'm doing data entry. I'm doing things that anyone else could do, including right. AI or computer programs. Let them handle the stuff that anyone can do so I can focus my energy on what's important for the business. So you have to focus on building systems to alleviate your time so that you can focus your energy on what matters and what moves the needle for your business.
Can you provide some examples from your experience of some tools and workflows that actually can make business smoother?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things, and it's ever-changing, like I mentioned earlier with the AI landscape that's going out there right now. You know, and everyone knows about like ChatGPT and the large language mm-hmm. models are great, but there's mm-hmm. like there's tools even in the Google suite, or for instance, my own business, I use a tool called Airtable. Airtable is sort of like a spreadsheet, but on steroids. It's actually a relational database. So what's nice about it is the most important piece of any business is your data. Mm-hmm. You have to have a place right. where you can have all of your information live securely that you can then you can access, and it talks to your other software. So Airtable is a tool that I use with all my data, whether it's my episodes, my contacts, my podcast relationships, everything lives in one area. Then I can use different tools to access that data to make my life easier because they all talk to each other. So it's not like I have a tool here, and they don't communicate. If your tools don't work together, it doesn't matter how great one of those tools is. If it doesn't work with your whole ecosystem, it's a bad setup. There's a lot of great tools, but if they don't work within an ecosystem or they don't collaborate with one another, it's not a good setup. So it's sort of a loaded question because there's a lot of options here, but you want to make sure whatever your tech stack is that they play nicely together so they talk to one another.
That's so wonderful to hear, and pretty good advice that using the right tool that is not only doing the task, but it is within your workflow. So it is a...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up. Even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Kind of an automation and your work goes smoother.
Before we go on, I just want to mention one thing about that. It's good also practice, as we mentioned earlier, like chasing the next shiny object. There's always going to be new software. Just pick one that you're comfortable with. And then stick with it for a while. If at some point you need to upgrade or switch, great, but don't automatically switch or look for the next best thing. Focus on one platform for a while and keep using it until you outgrow it. Once you outgrow it, then you can move on and find something else.
Wonderful advice. Really love it. Can you share with me the concept behind stealing your time back and how it redefines productivity?
Yeah. So your time, I call it like the time bandit, right? You have to steal your time back because we get sucked into these jobs that, like I mentioned earlier, is like busy work. And I'll give you an example. Now, if you wanted to start a business today, just say, you know what? Today's the day I'm starting my business. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend all day coming up with a clever name. I'm going to make a logo. I'm going to build a website. I'm going to make sure I got everything polished and ready to go. And that makes me very busy. So I could spend all my time today doing all these busy work things that don't actually make any money. When you go to a business, nobody looks at the logo and goes, wow, that logo made me want to do my business here. Nobody cares about that. Right. So us as people, we get sucked into doing things that take our time, but the projects we're wasting our time on don't move your financial needle. So if I waste 8 hours building one single logo, how much money did I make? I made zero. In fact, I wasted money because if I were to put time and money together like an hourly wage, let's say I charge $100 for every hour of my work, just to make numbers easy. If I waste 8 hours doing something that made me $0, I just gave up $800 that I could have used with a client doing work. So it's smart to identify. And listen, let me also say, you can't always get away from busy work. There is things I have to answer emails. I have to do meetings. Right. So there's a amount of that you have to do, but you have to identify the main priorities that you have to focus on. Identify your main task for every day and do that first. Once you accomplish your main needle moving goal for the day, then you can spend your other time doing some busy work. But make sure you're doing the important things first while you still are fresh, you have energy, and steal your productive time back. And don't waste it scrolling on Instagram or TikTok. Don't waste it playing video games or talking to your friends. You have to earn that leisure time later. Do your important work right away, first thing in the morning or whenever your day starts. And then from there, you can do the less important things. So you got to steal the important time back.
I love it when you say you need to do some planning on how your day would go today, because I personally also feel without active planning of a day, we just don't know how to utilize our own time, and time that goes away, it never comes back to your life. And I personally feel planning time in the morning, even envisioning that how your day will go, lets you to be a bit more proactive and a bit more organized than not having any idea at all. I know you're an entrepreneur, and I wanted to know from you, what are some common ways entrepreneurs actually waste time without even realizing that?
Yeah, I think a big part of that is not blocking off their calendar or their time. So every day of the week, you know, I start my morning, I do my morning routine, I get my daughter off to school. When I start my work day, the first 2 hours of my day are in a concentrated block. It's not available on my calendar. I don't answer my phone. I don't answer emails. I do the most important task of my day because I block it off on my calendar. So every morning when I look at my calendar, those first 2 hours are not available for anybody but myself. And in the way that if before I did that, before I would set up blocks of time, it's really easy to get an email and go, oh, I'll just answer this one. Well, then I'll answer this one. And then I'll take this call. And then I got a message. And now all of a sudden I'm all over the place and I'm being busy and I'm being productive, but I'm not focusing my time on what matters for my business. As I mentioned, if you're a solopreneur like I am, I'm the HR, I'm the payroll, I'm the marketing, I'm the sales, I'm the creator. So if I spend half my day doing something that's not creating or making money or sales, then that time is wasted. And it's really easy to get distracted, especially when we have these in front of us all day long and people are on their phones. It's really easy to get sucked into something that doesn't help you. So as an entrepreneur, you have to be disciplined with your calendar and you have to just make it non-negotiable. From 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every day, I am not available for people. That's my time to do my work. After that, I'll have like an admin block where I'll answer emails and messages. Then I schedule blocks of time for like learning, for exercise, for rest. You have to build that into your calendar and then just be like a creature of habit, have a routine. And and you're going to deviate from time to time. But if you have a predictable schedule, it's easy just to mentally build into it and it just becomes part of your life.
While talking to you before, you did mention about a term, time thieves. And this term was actually very interesting to me. Can you let our audiences know what is actually time thieves and how to identify time thieves in business and eliminate them effectively?
Yeah, so a time thief can be different for you than it is for me. It's a time thief, in my opinion, is whatever you default to when you have free time or when you're bored. Like, for instance, if my wife were here, for her, it might be scrolling on social media. For me, it might be watching a sports game. For my son, it might be playing video games. And those things are not bad. It's okay to have those times where you let your mind unwind and you can just do something brainless and fun for you. Those are important as well. Those are rest timings that you need. But you know, there's different apps you can download or like timers where you can be like, you know, as I'm scrolling on my social media, a timer is running. And then at the end of the week, you get like a report and it says, Joe, you spent 18 hours this week on social media. 18 hours? That's a lot. And I didn't realize it at the time. So you can use tools to do it. You can use an accountability partner, like a significant other, a brother, a sister, a friend, like, or a business partner. If you work in an office setting, you know, what do you see me using my time for? When you come into my office, am I always watching a YouTube video or am I actually working? You know, you have to identify. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those reflection things I said earlier in my five steps. You have to be honest with yourself and reflect. There are some days when I know I'm extremely busy and I worked all day and I took no breaks and I can give myself the old pat on the back. And then there's some days I know that I messed around and goofed off all day. I didn't work. I avoided my responsibility. And I have to be honest with myself and say, why am I behind this week? Is it because something else happened or there was someone to blame? No, it was me. I just took the week off mentally. I didn't work as hard. So to identify your time thieves, look at what you spend your time on when you don't have your responsibilities. Maybe it's video games. Maybe it's exercising. Maybe it's not even something not productive. Maybe when I'm free, I go run every day. If I spend more time running than working, it's still taking away from my productivity, even though it's a healthier habit. So you have to identify what you're wasting your time on. That's the biggest step to the problem.
Wonderful. And a pretty new concept for me. And I'm sure it's a new concept to many of our listeners as well. You have to understand what are the, you know, like what are the distractions might be in your work. Identify those. Identify what is actually, you know, distracting you from your work, from what is distracting you from your own productivity. I really like how Joe mentioned that there are apps that can actually track your social media hours. One trick that I actually follow is that in my social media, I add an extra layer. It's automatic logout, so that I'm kind of adding a layer before going into the social media itself. And it actually prohibits me to see, okay, so if I'm having to do an extra step, so let's do it a little bit later. Let's not do it now. So I think adding some of these distractions is also sometimes helpful.
Or remove it completely. Like if you know that getting on social media is your problem, take your phone and put it in a different room when you're working.
Right, right.
If, you know, eliminate the distractions because it's really easy to just pick it up and hold it. So if I have to go walk upstairs away from my office up to my bedroom and get my phone, I'm much less likely to do that over and over again.
Yes.
Than if it's just removed and out of sight, out of mind. There's real truth to that. It's smart.
So true, Joe. Thank you so much for that perspective. Can I talk to you a little bit about your business experiences? I know you have a lot of experience in podcasting and you have currently, you know, running a business out of it. And through podcasting, you do tell a story and it's also impacting your business as well. So what do you think? Why every business should build authority through storytelling and voice?
The most important reason is that it presents you as a thought leader in the space. And it doesn't matter what your podcast is about. It's whatever you want to talk about. But even if you don't want to be a podcaster for the reason of being a podcaster, maybe I'm just an electrician and I want to get the word out about how to safely do things. If I make these little podcast videos, two or three things happen from it. First, you provide value to your potential clients. They come to my show and they see me give good free advice. They start to learn that they can trust me. I'm knowledgeable. So right now I become a trusted leader in the space.
Right.
Second reason is when I create these videos, you can then take them, repurpose them into social media reels, put them on your website, put them in your newsletter. Now I've got content that can be viewed over and over again, and people will consistently now find me. They might not know me the first day, but all of a sudden, if you're looking up videos about electricians and you keep seeing my content come on your page, you're going to want to click on me and go, who is this Joe Massa guy I keep seeing over and over again? So it should be the best way to introduce you, your brand, your service, your product to your ideal target audience. Another thing that's overlooked is doing exactly what me and you are doing right here, Dr. Nazif, and that's, it's a networking tool. The reason me and you met is because I asked to be on your podcast and you said yes. So now from this, we have now met each other. Now you can use my network. I can use your network. we can expand both of our networks and grow. This gives you the opportunity to reach out to people in your space that maybe you wouldn't have done so originally. But now I can say, look, hey, Bill or Nancy or whoever it is, I'm a podcaster in your industry. I would love to talk to you and bring you on and share you with my audience. Mm-hmm. Now they want to talk to me. Now I get to use them as a referral. It's a win-win. It's a win-win.
For sure. For sure. Wonderful thought. And I really agree with you, Joe. Collaboration is such a, you know, significant and strong tool. We often underestimate the concept of networking and why someone needs to do that. It's so helpful. Even if you want to grow and expand your business, networking can be such a great tool where you can just learn from one another. I know we are nearing to the end of the podcast, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your own, the Podtopia Network, and your podcast as well. I know you are the host of the Measuring Podcast. So can I ask you what Podtopia Network is and how it is contributing to the realm and the world of podcasters?
Yeah, so I'll give you both. And real quick, it's called the Measuring Post podcast. And the reason behind the name, when I was growing up, we had a 2x4 in the basement where my dad would measure our height as we grew. It was the measuring post, right? So we always measure ourselves in these ways quantitatively, like how tall you are, how much money you make, how old you are. But we never really measure ourselves qualitatively, like how mature you are, your integrity, your empathy. So my show is all about self-development, personal growth, and how to measure up to be the best version of yourself. So that's where the show started from. But Podtopia Network, before podcasting, I spent about 20 years in the radio world. So I've been in radio since the early 2000s. And I sort of transitioned into podcasting. And I was working for other companies, and I was building them out their podcast networks. But they were using my skills and my contacts. So it kind of got to that point where I mentioned in the very beginning of the conversation, I feel a little older, but why am I doing this for everyone else instead of for myself?
Right.
So I decided, let's launch Podtopia Network. Let's create a community of collaborators and creators that want to work together, and let's share each other's stories, our brands. Let's support each other. So we created a course called the Podcast Accelerator, where I teach you how to start a podcast. Once you're done, you can join the network for free. We'll promote your show. We'll help you find guests. We'll help you find sponsors. And then really, we're just trying to build a giant network and community of people like me and you who want to grow their brands together and work together. So it's really meant to be a safe place for community podcasters to come and learn and share and make money together. Really, that was sort of the idea.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Joe. So dear listeners, please feel free to visit our website, activeaction.fm. Just type Joe's name and you'll see a webpage where it has all his social links and his bio. That's one way to connect with him. So I encourage you to do that. Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate sharing with me and my audiences your word of wisdom, your wonderful experience in the business realm that you did start as an entrepreneur, and now it's a successful venture. So I'm sure today's episode is a lot of value to our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be on the show. And my last piece of advice for everybody is don't be afraid. Just go for it. Don't overthink it. Just start and believe in yourself. Find your passion and be consistent, and you can accomplish anything. The only thing holding you back is you. So break through that mental barrier and just get to work. And then you can do what me and Dr. Nazif are doing and start a show, start a business. I know you can do it, and I'm rooting for you, and I'm here to help any way that I can. So thank you for having me on the podcast.
Thank you so much again for your valuable time this evening. I'll stay connected with you and hope to see you again in another episode of Active Action. Dear listeners, thank you so much again for joining today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you got to learn something new, please feel free to visit activeaction.fm. Share this episode with someone you might thought can benefit from that. And please visit the Joe's brand, Podtopia Network. Check out his amazing course, the podcast acceleration course. And, you know, and you can come and talk to me and teach me what you have learned. I'll be very interested to hear from you again. Take care, stay active, and take action. I'll meet you in another episode. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Visit our website, activeaction.fm, to enjoy all episodes and other exclusive contents on self-development. Take care, stay active, and take action.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.